Okay, everybody, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, please. Now, this is what I would like for us to do, other than please turning to 1 John chapter 4. And by the way, if you aren't in the habit of bringing a Bible with you, I would encourage you, get in the habit of bringing a Bible with you. It can be on your smartphone, that works too. But have a Bible so that you can look at the scriptures, participate in the Bible study in that way. I have a question for you. I want to give you a few seconds to think about it, and then I would like for you to share the answer. So the way that this works is, when I ask the question, if nobody shares the answers, then it doesn't work, right? So it works really well if people actually share the answers. So I'm really encouraging you to please volunteer and share. So here's the question. What ways have you experienced God's love in your life? Okay, what ways have you experienced God's love in your life? That's the question. All right. I didn't give you a lot of time, but is there anyone who has an answer already? Or you need more time? A way in which you've experienced God's love in your life. Okay, yes. Awesome. I like the way, because you shared two things there that were really... First, you said through His grace and mercy, and you were talking about His forgiveness. Then you moved over, and you also mentioned sometimes you hurt other people, and they forgive you as well. I think that's really powerful because you're experiencing God's love directly from God, and you're experiencing God's love from other people, too, at the same time. That's really, actually, really insightful and a great message, actually. Who else wants to share? Sure, Barbara. Yeah, so the fact that God does not reveal all the things about us at one time. So if you've been a Christian for a long time, then as time goes on, new things come up, right? You start seeing things that you need to work on in your character, sins that you need to repent of, and this whole idea that you're being changed into the likeness of Christ with ever-increasing glory over periods of time, right? And so... Barbara pointed out the fact that it's good. It's actually good, and you know, I'll see things in my life that I didn't see before, and sometimes I'll feel like, wow, you know, I wish that I'd known about that sooner, you know. But probably when it was sooner, I really wouldn't have wished that I knew about it sooner, because I was already thinking about other things that I was trying that I wanted to change and grow in, right? And so, just God's patience and slowly revealing things to us, allowing us not to have to like take the full hit of our sinful nature at any given time. That's very encouraging. Okay, anybody else want to share ways in which you have experienced God's love in your life? Yes. Yeah, so just being protected by God. Some people are very aware of the fact that God is the one who's protecting them and keeping them alive. Other people, it just doesn't occur to them so much, and sometimes it's environmental too. Where I live right now, I live in this, you know, seemingly very safe neighborhood, very peaceful place, you know, a good middle class neighborhood, and I think, well, nothing could happen to me. You know, you don't walk out the door and think something might happen to me here, but it's easy to not think of that. No, actually, you know, God is protecting us and keeping us safe from day to day to day. I also lived, when I lived in Boston, we were trying to build churches or build the church all over the city of Boston. And I lived in this pretty nice, plush neighborhood. And then they asked me, would you go into the South End? And we want to start a ministry in the South End. Now, in the South End, where we went, it was a really, what we would think of as a scary, dangerous place to be. And about 30 of us picked up and moved right into the middle of the South End. And so there were drug busts everywhere. There were guns everywhere. There were murders going on. And we literally, we had a rule. We were all single who moved in. We had a rule that the single sisters were not allowed out after dark unless they were being escorted by some brothers. That's how dangerous it was. They could not go out after dark. Even when they were coming home from work, the brothers will go down to the train station. We had a train station that came right through the middle. The brothers will go down and pick them up. If they came home after dark, we will go down and pick them up and walk them home. I'm not even going to get into the stories. I could tell you stories for a long time. So we were aware that God kept us alive each day. And so thing about it is, living here, God's keeping us alive each day too, in Frederick. It's the same thing, but sometimes we're not as aware of his protection. Okay, anybody else who wants to share ways that they've experienced God's love? Go ahead, Deanna.
He's provided growing up, doing all right, you know, and it's all God.
Yeah. So just providing our needs. I like the way that you said, and most of my wants too. And because most of us that live around here, we have a lot of wants. We've received a lot of wants. We probably still have more wants, you know, because, you know, you get some, then you start thinking about the next one. But, we live a very blessed life in that way. Jack, you had your hand up. Yeah, that's awesome. So that's another example of God showing his love to us through people, right? Our brothers and sisters in the church. And that's awesome. Now, Martha, you had your hand up too, right?
Oh, well, similar to Jack, just being ministered to and seeing God's love through my sisters. And just having gone through some just dark, sad times last year. And just how God just was able to use the struggles other sisters have been through to come and minister to me.
Right.
And I didn't feel rejected.
Yeah, so people there engaging during difficult and challenging times. Again, God showing his love through our brothers and sisters, but, you know, helping when things are hard. Yeah, and you don't have to go through it alone. I'm not sure if Janelle or Janelle wants to share, because Janelle's holding up Janelle's arm. So I'm just trying to figure out who actually really wants to share. So that was a good list of different things that God has done in your life that you really consider blessings of him showing his love. I'm impressed. I've never known anyone when they were like planning out their career who ever actually picked out the bathroom that they wanted at their office. You know, that's impressive, Janelle. But anyhow, impressive that God gave it to you. But anyway, okay, so we could probably go on and on. We start thinking about ways in which we've experienced God's love in our life. Let's look here in 1 John chapter 4 now. And I just want to read some scriptures that talk about God's love and talk about us loving each other. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, anyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God lives in them. Let me try reading that one more time. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in us, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So this scripture has a lot to say about God, God's love, and our love. We can't even begin to cover everything that this scripture says about the topic, because it's so rich and there's so much there. I came up with cliff notes from this scripture. Like, what are the main ideas that this scripture is teaching? And I want you to get the idea, if you think about the lessons that we've been having lately in the church, whether it's in our family groups or on Sunday or things like that, I want you to get the idea that what we're trying to do is cultivate more love in the church. That's what we're trying to do. That's not to say there isn't a lot of love in the church. There's a lot of love in the church. But we're trying to cultivate more love. I just believe that the church can be more loving than it is. Not that it isn't loving. It is loving. I look at my own life and I say to myself, self, you could be a lot more loving than you are. I really believe that. I've been thinking about this a lot. I could be a lot more loving than I am. I want to be more loving. And so, as a result, you know, just trying to help cultivate that in the church, we're having a lot of lessons about this topic. Let's look at verse 7 through 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. All right, I just described that as the motivation. That's the motivation of why we need to love one another. That's the reason right there. You might be thinking, I love people. Why do I need to love people more? Why should I think about loving my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, this is the motivation right here. It says, because God loved us, we ought to love one another. You know, it gives us an explanation of how God loved us. He gave us Jesus as an atoning sacrifice. You know, he's rescued us from ourselves, which I believe is what Barbara shared earlier. You know, he rescued us from ourselves. We're saved because God loved us and he sacrificed Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And so the message here is, look, since God loved you so much, then obey God by loving one another. That's the motivation. That's the number one main primary moving motivation for us as Christians. why we should care about each other. You know, why we should love each other. Because God loved us. And as Robert said, you know, with things outside of God, things change an awful lot. Almost everything changes, right? But with God, things never change. They never change. And so God's love is permanent. God's love is consistent. It never wanes or wavers in any way whatsoever. And so this is what we have, the motivation, the constant motivation to make sure that we are loving each other. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. What's my note from that? We are a demonstration of God's love to each other. It was really interesting hearing the sharing. In the sharing, a number of people, when they said, when we asked the question, how have you experienced God's love in your life? A number of people said they experienced God's love through other people in their life. They experienced it through other people. You know, God showed his love to us in a lot of ways, but one way is through the love that we receive from one another in the church. Now that makes it very serious. It's like God's love is completed when we show love to one another. That means that it's incomplete when we don't show love to one another. In other words, we have no way of experiencing the full completeness of God's love in our lives unless we're showing love to one another, because God, he's reaching out to us through each other. I mean, God is not in this physical form that we can see him. He didn't just walk up, hey, how's it going? You know, how are you doing? Hey, let me bring this to you. Hey, let me tell this to you. Hey, let me show this to you. He's not going to come up like Emmanuel shared and say, hey, let me show you how you can preserve coffee, you know, so you can have coffee for, you know, more than one day. You can have it through. God doesn't do that. Well, he wants to do those things through us. He's actually chosen us to be the vessels by which he shows a large percentage of his love to one another in the church and to the world. We are the demonstration of God's love. And so that's something for us to go, wow, this is a privilege. And this is a really big responsibility to have too as well. All right. In verse 13 through 16a, it says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. What's my note from that section? We rely on the love that God has for us. I mean, just stop and think about it. For those of us who have faith, we know we're relying on God's love. We know we're relying on it. A lot of people don't know that they're relying on God's love. You know, they don't believe. They don't have faith. They don't understand that a lot of things that are going on in their life is a gift that God has given to them. Nobody makes themselves breathe. Nobody makes there be a beautiful blue sky. Nobody makes the leaves turn beautiful colors in the fall. Most of what we enjoy in life, a lot of what we enjoy in life is absolutely free, given to us by the courtesy of God, because he loves us. But for those of us who know, and we rely on God's love, I mean, this helps us in so many ways. When I'm going through my day, if I hear hard things, I always process them through God. You know, I can always think, I know God is working. I know God is faithful. I know God is taking care of those people. I know God is taking care of me. I'm counting on him. I'm relying on him. Even if, when I think about dying, and Robert was talking about being afraid to die, when I think about dying, I'm relying on God. You know, so I don't have to tremble in fear. I'm relying on God. You know, he loves me. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to come through. He's going to be faithful to me. And so that's my lesson from those verses right there. You know, how much I rely on God's love. I'm not asking you how much do you rely on God's love from the point of saying maybe you're not relying on God's love. I'm asking you, think about it. If you're a faithful Christian, you really are. Just think about how many times you're blessed by the fact that you're walking almost like, you know, under this shield of God, you know, with this Holy Spirit living in you, caring, protecting, being there for you, not allowing anything bad to happen unless He's planning on making good come from it. And this is God. We rely on God's love. 16b and 17. It said, well, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. I mean, this is the first time reading through this, studying this. This is the first time that passage ever, that statement, in this world, we are like Jesus. It's the first time I ever really saw it. I've read it many, many, many times. But I saw it this time. I was like, whoa, wow, that is a very straightforward statement. You know, in this world, we are like Jesus. As Jesus' disciples, as His followers, as people who are living in God's love, you know, we are to live like Jesus in this world. And we just can't lose sight of that. We need to make sure that we don't lose sight of that. When we're deciding what kind of person we're going to be and how we're going to interact with one another and how we're going to treat one another, we have to have this in the forefront of our mind. In this world, we are like Jesus. And so, you know, how am I going to define love? Because we're not defining it really deep, you know, in detail. How am I going to define love? Well, I need to define love in the same way that Jesus defined love. And so I have to read about Jesus. And I have to look into the scriptures and figure out what did love look like for Him. And then I need to change my mind and my heart and my actions to be like Him. To be like Him. Now, that's one of the reasons right there why I really feel like I need to grow in love. And because if the standard is Adolf Hitler, I don't think I need to grow in love very much, okay? I just think that I probably am more loving than he was, okay? But if the standard is Jesus, then all of a sudden, I have a lot of room to grow. Set ourselves the right standard. That's the point. If you're just looking at your average neighbor or your average coworker or even your average friend in the church, and then you're going, I feel pretty good about myself. Well, first of all, you should feel good about yourself. But don't set that as the standard. Jesus is the standard. So strive to love like Jesus loves. I'm not saying that I'm there either. This is an upward call to me. And this scripture is one of the scriptures that makes me realize I need to grow in love. All right, that's that scripture. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I'm sure that this scripture means a lot of different things. Part of it might mean that I'm fearful that God isn't really going to save me. Part of it might mean that, because right before it talks about having confidence on the day of judgment, right? So part of it might mean that. You know, that I don't have to live in fear. Because God loves me and I love God back, I don't have to live in fear. I can live in a secure relationship with God. I'm not worried about Him striking me with lightning, you know. One time a person came and visited our church, and they were part of a different kind of church, right? They came and visited our church. And after church was over, I was like, oh, how did you like the service today? Oh, it was really encouraging. I just hope that God doesn't strike me with lightning on the way home. I was like, what? I just thought that was a really strange thing for him to say, right? I was like, well, why would God strike you with lightning on the way home? He's like, well, because I came to this church. I was like, well, why would God strike you with lightning? Well, because I didn't go to the other kind of church. It was the church that he goes to. And I was like, so you think God will strike you with lightning Because you came here instead of going to the other church that you normally go to? He was like, well, I hope he doesn't. So I'm just thinking, wow, this is not how we want to live our life, right? I woke up in the morning, hope I don't do anything that makes God strike me with lightning today. You know, this is a sad understanding of God. This is not God. That would be like my son, you know, thinking, wow, I hope my dad doesn't like hit me over the head with a hammer today because I didn't do something the way he wanted me. I mean, you know, that doesn't make sense, right? God is a caring, loving Father. And so that's part of it. God's not trying to trick us into thinking we're going to go to heaven, but really we're not. He's not trying to trick us. You know? Behold, he's standing at the door knocking. You know? He wants to come in. He wants to give good gifts to you, as it says in Matthew 7. So that's part of it. But then the other part of it, fear and love. Something that I thought about was, do I let fear interfere with my ability to love you in the church? Do I let fear? Because, hey, guess what? Every once in a while, one of you hurts my feelings, okay? Every once in a while, one of you does something that I think is mean or that, you know, is... that it happens. I'm not the only one in here who thinks this. You know, you think this about people too. Mostly some of you are like, Steve, you hurt my feelings sometimes too. You know, I mean, we hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes we burden each other. Sometimes we don't treat each other right. And so the temptation is to then just go, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stop loving people. Because if I stop loving them, they can't hurt me. We're going to try to protect ourselves, right? If I stop loving you, oh, I'm going to care about you. I'm going to be nice to you when we come into church, okay? But I'm not really going to give you my heart, and I'm not really going to invest my emotions because that way you can't hurt me. And I do think it's important to set up proper boundaries in our lives and things like that. That's all a lesson. I came into the ministry with so few proper boundaries. You know, that I was just vulnerable to everybody because to be hurt by anybody. And I couldn't sleep because I was so worried about everybody. I had to learn, you know, how to have proper boundaries. But the pendulum, it can swing so far in the other direction to the point where I could get a call about some problem that someone's going through, and then I could be annoyed. I can be like, oh, no, not another. Oh, gosh, another one of these problems. You know, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying I always do. Don't be hesitate to call me. I'm just saying that it's all about fear. That's all it is. It's just all about fear, you know. And if I allow myself to be overcome with fear, then I start blocking my ability to actually love you, to love you. And it goes both ways amongst us. So we have to cast out the fear. You know, do not be overcome by fear. That's my lesson from this right here. Do not be overcome by fear. Definitely, if you love people, you are going to get hurt. But do not be overcome by fear. Remember, the standard is Jesus. His love caused him to get hurt. Okay? Our love is going to cause us to get hurt. Do not be overcome by fear. 19 through 21, and then we'll conclude. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. My note was that from that was resolve conflicts. Resolve conflicts. I mean, I spent a lot of my life not resolving conflicts and letting all kinds of things form barriers between me and other people. And over the years, it's taken so many, many efforts and people helping me to have this heart, resolve conflicts. You know, I get tempted to become bitter. I get tempted to get an attitude. I get tempted to write people off. I get tempted to just create distance. All these different things. But what this is trying to tell us to do is, look, you can't think that you're loving God and at the same time you're not loving your brother and sister. And so it really is between me and God. So I need to resolve my conflicts. When somebody hurts me, when I'm upset at somebody, when I'm developing an attitude, when I'm starting to get bitter, I just need to resolve them. And then talk them through and then bring it to forgiveness. Bring it to forgiveness. And then once I bring it to forgiveness, our relationship is better than it was before we started this whole thing. We've had some lessons on resolving conflict. I know it might sound a little cheesy, but it actually is not cheesy, okay? We have pamphlets on how to resolve conflicts. And you say, well, I'm just going to give you a pamphlet? I'm telling you, this is a really good pamphlet, actually. You know, it's scriptural processes on how to resolve conflicts in our lives. So that, and I use the pamphlet because I forget. So I go back there and go, what does the Bible say about this again? And then I go to the pamphlet and I read it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, it's very helpful to have tools. But I'm just saying it's so important. Nobody is going to be able to make it through life in the church without being offended and without offending other people. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Except for Neil Maul. Neil Maul is the only one I know because Neil was baptized on Friday and he went to be with the Lord on Monday. So he might have actually made it without offending anybody. Okay? Because he had 2 days as a Christian and the possibility he didn't offend anybody in the 2 days, you know. But anybody who that isn't what happens in their life, you know, if you're a Christian a week, you'll probably offend somebody or be offended by somebody. And so so we're learning to love each other by resolving the conflict. All right, so that's the lesson for today. I hope that, you know, just you'll be propelled. Something in there that'll hit you to make you think, this is how I can be more loving in the church. Thank you very much.